Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. 22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money-back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1-2-3. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we're going to empower you. That's what we like to do. And thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about looking at our the national challenges we have. There's a new poll out of the Pew Research Center and what, kind of tapping the pulse of what Americans are thinking. And also we're going to be talking about modified antibiotics, and we'll see how much time we have. We may even get to fit a protein topic in, and we do have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. And you know me, I'm seeking the Lord's face, hitting the knees, and I hope you are too. Today's devotional finds us in Lamentations 3, where it says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him." Amen. And if you're not seeking the Lord's face, mind time, it grows short, because that is the way. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. All right, this is interesting. The National Health Alert here. This is really disturbing. A Michigan doctor has been charged because he's been reusing supplies on patients. So the health officials in Michigan have cited this doctor and have contacted all his patients that he used this device on that they may want to get an HIV check. So the Department of Health and Human Services yesterday issued Dr. Roger Bayer. He is a urological solutions specialist on women's health, and he works at the hospital there in Michigan. So he's in violation of their Department of Licensing and Regulatory Procedures. So what he did is there's this device that is it's only supposed to be – it's only approved by the FDA to be used once on a patient, and then it's supposed to be discarded. But he's used the device over 100 times without replacing it, and it was only cleaned occasionally. So this is what we're seeing a lot in hospitals, that they're doing this kind of stuff. And no wonder people are coming down with all kinds of things. All right, last but not least, in the Quack report, according to this report, medical establishment lies about patients being brain dead in order to harvest their organs. Now, if you recall, if you've been listening to this show, you know we did a show on this a while back on the organ harvesting whole thing. A neurologist from Brazil, this is Dr. Cicero Cumbria. He's a medical doctor and a neurologist. He is giving the heads up about the fraudulent activity labeling patients that are brain dead. So he says that brain dead actually is really not a medical condition. It was never really an authentic medical condition. It was kind of a myth. It was made up. Generally speaking, he says brain dead is not a medical term. It was invented 60 years ago, and there's no scientific research or evidence to back up the condition. But it is used in medicine and routinely. He says a lot of times doctors are lacking the skill and knowledge to revive a person who's in a deep coma that appears to be brain dead. If the brain is only getting 50% of oxygen and blood flow, that's typically what could happen, that they go into a coma. It's a protective measure that the organ does. And it doesn't mean you can't revive them and they can't be healthy and normal. Doesn't mean they'll be, you know, brain damaged or anything. So he says he wants people to know that the organ transplant system is very powerful, and it's very lucrative. He says people that are brain dead, they gave it the name ischemic neurumbra. And in other words, it's a brain death is really a myth, is what he says. So be aware of that, especially, you know, if you have a trauma head case and you go into the hospital. I want to tell you, you got a big target on your back as a perfect organ harvesting person, you know, because, you know, they're going to try to pronounce you brain dead. I'm not kidding. You would think they wouldn't do that stuff. Well, they will, because they make more money taking your organs and putting in somebody else than they would save your life. Unfortunately, that's what it's about. It's about the money. And I used to work in a hospital, so I should know a few things. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about looking at this all the national challenges we have, and the Pew Research Center did this poll. They had some findings they released regarding how Americans feel about the condition of, or the health even of their country. So overall, in their findings, they said, the people they polled said, we the people are concerned in specific areas that our nation is on the decline
especially in financial and political areas. So the research team asked more than 2,500 Americans a simple question. When you peer 30 years into the future, what do you see? So it was not all, you know, doom and gloom. About 56% of those polled had an optimistic view. You know, turning this nation around takes time and consistent effort. However, Americans are concerned there's really not a whole lot of joint effort in the national politics arena to help do that. So let's look at the political part first. Americans were really not shy in voicing their discontent with politics and the political leaders. A majority of them, 55%, felt, you know, the federal government would be unable to find solutions to the current problems and or positively impact the future problems we may encounter. So they also felt there's this divide between political parties, and they think it'll widen. And the time in which Americans looked, you know, to government to solve all their problems seems to have changed. So those polled felt politicians are kind of disconnected from the people, and they really don't have a true sense of priority. So those polled stated problems will be solved, they thought, by science, technology, and education before it would be by political area. Well, let's look at the differences, because the Americans in the poll responded that politicians really can't agree on important issues. And the argument is the agreement phase really is the first step to solving a problem. And so the researchers offered this comparison. The top three Republican priorities were control undocumented immigration, cut debt, and reduce taxes. Now, the top three Democratic priorities were health care for all, increased spending on education, and more special programs for improving quality of life for all. So what the Republicans feel was imperative to resolve problems does not even show up on the Democratic list until after resolving things like climate change, reducing the gap between the rich and the poor, and increasing the spending on your Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The Pew Research folks said this: one thing both political parties do agree on is that by 2050, the majorities of both parties will be more politically divided than today. End of quote. Not good. Not good. Yeah. Well, let's look at this divide, because Americans said they're really concerned about it in the country, and they're concerned about this gap may get wider between the wealthy and the poor. They also were skeptical about the wisdom in using automation, like automating labor with robots outfitted with artificial intelligence. They were concerned that such automation would threaten the workforce, autonomy, and overall economy. So Americans also may be concerned more about that than climate change. They also said they may be earning more per hour right now, but they earn less because the taxes have increased and their spending power is weaker. So, and then one of the other things on the poll that they said they were worried about, Americans are worried about, is an invasion. Americans were also concerned about invasion and or attack on their land. They were also worried less about the global warming stuff than they were about this. So the poll showed 48% said that they had serious concerns that the elected officials had the ability to solve any of the immediate issues threatening the nation. The rest said about 39% were somewhat worried, and 10% were not concerned that much, and 2% they weren't worried at all. Now, in this poll from Peer Review, they said they polled these people in January, and then they polled them again in March. So the numbers reflected a decline. So when in January, 7 out of 10 felt the U.S. was in trouble, and then in March, it was 8 out of 10. So America was in decline based on that. So let's look at the poll prediction that they think would happen in 30 years. So they asked the people to predict some of the changes they feel are going to be coming into the United States within the next 30 years, and here's some of their predictions. They said a woman would be president, so 9 out of 10 that participated in the poll felt that way. Then the other flip of the coin is a Hispanic would be president. 65% felt that would happen. And then they also thought there would be a cure for Alzheimer's. 50% said they looked for that. But let's look at – I'm going to turn real quickly to the U.S. Census for a sec, because an interesting statistic coming out of the U.S. Census Bureau is that by 2050 – they say blacks, Hispanics, and Asians will be the majority in the U.S. population. So a majority of those polled by the peer review, 42% felt neutral about that type of change, 35% stated it was good, a good thing, and 23% said it would be a bad thing and weaken the United States. And it was also predicted that people over the age of 65 will outnumber the younger than 18 age group in the population, which that would track with the current mortality stats that we've been looking at for the last 3 years. So let's look at that for a second, because midlife mortality has risen. It's been reported within the last 3 years, our mortality rate for the United States as a nation has exceeded the birth rate. So more people are dying than being born. And this is a great concern. So what the statistics show is more young adults and middle-aged people are dying than ever before. And some health experts contribute it to early demise based on opioid use or some other addictive substance. However, that's not the only contributor. This was in the British Medical Journal, August 2018. They said no single factor such as opioids, explains this phenomenon of declining health in the United States, which I would agree with. Also, the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health said, we show various measures of despair have been increasing in the United States since 1980, and how these trends relate to changes in health and longevity. We see higher mortality rates among all Americans compared to other nations, end of quote. They also, in the poll, were worried about retirement. This is really the age of vanishing retirements. This was a report that touched on how Americans look and see their retirement, how they perceive this. And they said this, they expect older Americans won't be prepared financially and will need to work past retirement age. They also expect a majority of Americans won't be able to afford to retire. And they expect the Social Security won't have enough money to provide benefits, and they expect the standard of living will be lower for retired individuals. Some of the other changes we're not going to get into, but we'll touch on here. In the Pew Review, they also listed data on what the individuals thought about the decline of morals and organized religion, and about 50% of them agreed there's a decline in both of those areas. And so we're going to just take a little walk back in time for a second, because according to the Public Health Review by the Annual Review Organization, the United States has dropped its ranking as a healthy nation. And the organization looks at all national mortality indicators and it compares them to other nations to get a health status. So according to the records, in the last 100 years, health has steadily improved for other developed countries. However, the United States had one of the lowest mortality rates in the 1950s, but no longer. Now, since then, the United States has declined in health outcomes regardless of healthcare spending. So the report described, get this, the report described the United States as experiencing a stagnation in health. How? That is just too descriptive for words, isn't it? According to their review, this is in 2012, volume 33, they said reversing the U.S. decline in health will require a major national coordinated long-term effort to expose the problem and create the solution. They went on to say there is no known biological reason why every population should not be as healthy as the best, and public awareness of deteriorating health ranking in the United States is limited, and so therefore communication strategies need improvement. So, you know, we're just not being, informed enough about the seriousness of this matter and what all Americans should be doing. See? So if you look at all the numbers, in one generation, we went from a positive health status to a negative in one generation. One generation, it's what, 70 years. So it appears that within that short time, the United States has lost its premier status in health. And we're going to look at some of the major changes that occurred, took place around this pivotal time of 1950. And, you know, and I mentioned the government census report, and that's included in this. So the changes were actually said they were predicted in the 50s. They were going to revolutionize, let's say, agriculture, and that's exactly what they did. So look at these changes, and we're just an example of the outcome of these changes. There was a decline in fruit trees and the production of fruit trees in the United States. Machine age changed agriculture, so a lot of, you know, high-tech machines came into play. They introduced the introduction of different varieties of crops, in other words, hybrids and GMO, also drugs for animal disease, chemicals for pest control, fewer farms, okay, fewer cash crops, so less wheat, cotton, corn, and oats grown on American soil. Foods for consumption were mainly produced elsewhere and imported, and mandated human vaccines and widespread antibiotic use, all within this generation. That's just some of what happened. So the changes did have tremendous impact on to the point that it really has affected our national health. So the United States was healthier in 1900 than it is today. So we look at how expensive food is today because America imports most of it. So the quality of the food has also declined, and that if you compared it to the 1900s, the vitamin and mineral content is about 50% less. So the U.S. government enacted more farm policies and regulations in 1949. Let's read this quote from Food Logistics, September 2015. They say China is now the top export market to the United States in agriculture products, followed by Canada, Mexico, Asia, and Latin America. We got all this land. What are we doing with it? American Farm Bureau Federation says this. In early 1900s, farming accounted for about 40% of the U.S. gross domestic product. Farm and ranch families comprised just 60% of the U.S. population. Farm programs cost each American just pennies per meal and accounted for less than one-half of 1% of the total U.S. budget. They didn't spend all that much money on food. How much money are you spending now on food, Frank? Yeah. If you're not growing, you don't have a garden, you spend a lot. Today, they say 1% of the U.S. population live on farms and 20% live in rural areas. Well, it's a complete flip from, you know, the 1930s, 40s. And so, Jason Lusk, he's with he's a food agricultural economist. He says the U.S. had, get this, we had 6 to 7 million farms in 1910 to 1940. After the 40s, he says there began this sharp decline in the number of farms with more government regulations. And at the same time, the average size farm, which was about 150 acres, more than doubled to 450 acres. So they were like conglomerating. They were, you know, merging farmlands together under what? I guess a company organization. You know, gone are the little family farms. So if you're on the newsletter list at thepowerherbs.com, if you go to thepowerherbs.com, you're going to get newsletters in your email each week. They're totally free. And this week there's this graph. And this graph is by the U.S. Census of Agriculture, USDA, where it shows you from 1900 to 2007 how the number of farms and the size of farms changed. It's like a big X across this graph. You know, it's like a flip-flop. And so you could get a graphic visual on that. So we really need to take note. Many things have really contributed to the decline of health in the United States, and a majority of people, they complain of some very common health problems, which many of them were not even listed in the medical books in the early 1900s. Things like thyroid diseases, low fertility and energy, neurological diseases, chronic metabolic dysfunction, cancers, autoimmune disorders, vision ailments and vision loss, emotional and behavioral disorders. So in the 1900s, they didn't even, doctors didn't have a whole lot of knowledge about what we're going through right now. They didn't see those cases, really. One country doctor said he never saw a case of cancer until childhood immunization started being used, which I think is interesting. So what's your prediction? What do you think you're going to see in the next 30 years? Well, one thing's for sure, technology has sped things up. So what once took an entire generation of 70 years to introduce changes is going to be done much faster in less time with all the technology. We're going to be seeing the change here. So really, what affects health? As we can see, health is really affected by the way we live, and how we conduct ourselves as a nation matters. So the lesson is that when you're relying on others, like government or other countries, it makes us as a whole vulnerable and weaker. And so we really need to look at the mortality rates, and we only just need to look at those rates and see it. It gives us a real clue. So if we take back the control in our personal lives, be more accountable with our health, be more proactive with it, we'll make a big difference. And if we stand together for righteousness' sake, we can change our whole nation. So we need to get healthy and strong again. Our nation is not healthy and strong right now. Now, to begin your personal path, if you want to get strong for strengthening your health, the folks at Apothecary Herbs are willing to help you figure this out. And they have some very powerful tools. So the medicinal herbs that God has given us will cleanse and nourish your system, and your body will become strong again. This is a blessing from the Lord, and he promises it from Genesis to Revelation. So you can just read about it there. So you want a free catalog from the folks at Apothecary Herbs to get started. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Of course, you can download the catalog from the website, too, thepowerherbs.com. Just click on product catalog, thepowerherbs.com, because that's where your healthcare options just became endless, because it's you, God's medicinal herbs full of power, nutritional healing power, and his promise. That's a win-win combo right there. So get a free catalog. And by the way, they are in the middle of their Father's Day sale. So you'll save 20% on orders of $50 or more. But this sale will end on the 16th. So you can use the coupon Father's with an S and a D, in the cart, over the phone, or on your order form, and get the discount. So don't forget, use the coupon. All right, I can see we're going to be taking a break in a minute, but we're going to be talking about some genetically modified antibiotics that are in the works and what that may mean to overall health. And if we get time, we're going to talk about some really fabulous proteins the body can utilize and help you not feel hungry and lose weight. So we're going to be coming right back after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the prostate kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. Hey, the Doobie Brothers. Yeah, long time heard hear those. We're going to be talking about the genetically modified antibiotics for a little bit, and we've talked about science making some groundbreaking advancements in drug therapies. But let's just talk about real quick, where your antibiotics come from. Usually, science is turning over rocks; they're looking for the bacteria in the soil. And they collect bacterial strains that way, and they can make antibiotics from them. So, there's all these bacterias, and you're probably wondering, how come they quit making antibiotics? Because they kept saying they ran out of them. You know, how can they run out of bacterias? I mean, there's so many of them that I don't think they've registered them all. So anyway, they have to have a good bacterial candidate to make a drug from it. But scientists now have, they said they're having difficulty finding really good bacterial candidates so they can make drugs to replace the drug-resistant variety because the bacteria are mutating. So they kind of shifted their little focus to antiviral drugs and vaccines for a while. But now with the invention of the CRISPR, where they can edit things, they're a little bit more hopeful they'll be able to edit or modify, genetically modify antibiotics in order to make new lines of drugs out of them. So according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, the original premise of making your antibiotic, this was in 1941, was to use a small bacteria molecule from soil And they used it to antagonize the microbe growth of the infectious pathogen. So that doesn't really sound too good that they're going to antagonize your infection, but that's exactly what they did. This is kind of a simplified description of how your penicillin works, your streptomycin, and your tetracycline. These are all antibiotics. They did produce them from soil bacteria and funguses. So these drugs are early, also successors, are now essentially, I guess, useless, and they're needing replacements. So that's why they're looking for new ways to modify them. So the antibiotics, mankind has really been seeing, we've been using them for, 80 years now. But molecules of different combinations and enzymes and proteins and fatty acids and polysaccharides. So they're trying to come up with unique anti-infectious drugs this way. So science is really evolving in that antibiotic area. A lot of it now is synthetic, and it's called biosynthetic molecules. That's how they describe a synthetic antibiotic. And what it does is it kind of mimics the DNA of a bacteria. That's what a synthetic product is. It's not an organic form. And although the early creation of antibiotics were very simple compared to some of the complexity of the new antibiotics that they're coming out with. So with the DNA editing of the bacterias, it's led to this whole new antibiotic research area. Here is a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine. They said, some antibiotic gene clusters are estimated that from one soil family of bacteria, it could produce 10,000 ingredients or molecules that we can use to make new antibiotics. So from that sample we could screen out 2,500 molecules that would make good candidates for antibiotics, things like streptomycin, tetracycline, and all those others. It takes about 1 in 100,000 of these molecules to make vancomycin, and 1 in 1,000,000 to make erythromycin, and 1 in 10,000,000 to make daptomycin, which is one of the newest antibiotics and really powerful one. So kind of wonder, any wonder why science is really deciding, hey, we need to make synthetic copycats to keep track of the biodiversity of the soil bacteria? Well, it's opened up a lot of opportunities to produce what is called cryptic antibiotics by editing the DNA. And according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine, they say antibiotics are actually signaling molecules that happen to kill bacteria when they are applied to unnaturally high concentrations. So when the bacteria becomes resistant, it silences the messages and the antibiotic offers no action or protection anymore. So in short, they say we know little about the ecological role of the molecules that we call antibiotics. So, you know, when I hear stuff like that, I say, oh boy, they playing with fire or what? Well, they are. They just don't know. They're just experimenting on everybody. Well, here's some new areas of discovery. Science has been looking for antibiotic molecules in other areas, they say, that have been less explored, like within marine biology and more in the fungus that insects pick up and carry. And so science has identified about 230 fungal species from just your ants, you know, the ones you don't want coming to your picnic. So there is a whole new area of study. It's called ant-associated bacteria. And so we're told that the fungus strains that ants carry around are old. They're ancient fungus strains. So they're gonna try to find something. I don't know. I mean, when I think about this fungus thing and they're ancient, I mean, can't you find maybe, I don't know, I bet you can find some interesting things on mummies in Egypt. What do you think, Frank? You know, I know it's kind of morbid, but, you know. Well, and let's talk about iChip, because researchers at Northwestern University in Boston created a method that it captivates bacteria in soil, and then they can test it in the lab. They could actually influence the outcome of the bacteria based on the nutrients in it, and then they can introduce that to new soil, and it changes the chemicals. So the containers that the soils get placed in are called iChip containers. And so during this process, the bacteria is allowed to change. They discovered 25 new bacteria doing this. So whether they will be suitable bacteria for drug use is a question. But one of the bacteria they called Thioxibacton, they say it's very promising. Scientists in London have created a synthetic version of it. And this new bacterial strain, they hope, will be able to be used against MRSA, TB, that kind of thing, for the gram-positive bacteria that tend to make people very sick. They also are looking at gram-negative bacteria, so they want to get the gamut there. According to Heidi Ledford, she's a researcher, she said, typically only about 1% of the microbes in soil samples are able to grow in a lab. So the iChip expands that fraction to 50%. So this new container they're using will help them be more, I guess, productive. So with all this digging and shifting and editing that they're doing with dirt and microbes, some antibiotics are, well, let's just say it, they're just not dirt cheap. Making drugs from dirt is a long process, and it can be awfully expensive. And it can also offer unexpected results, to be frank. Well, so what some of the researchers at the School of Life Science and the Department of Chemistry at the University of Warwick in the UK area, they've been fragmenting the soil bacteria, and they've been using just a fragment of the molecule. So the work they published, it was in the October 2018 Journal of Chemical Sciences. So when they edit a bacteria in this way, they encrypt the molecule and they call it silent cluster of genes in soil bacterium. So this gene editing of your bacteria molecule is kind of a new science, and they are looking to produce new forms of strains. So the scientists hope to gain total control over the diseases that they can target and thereby create a whole new generation of novel types of drugs. And you may see such drugs described as biosynthetic enzymes. Look for that, you know. These are already actually being classified as high-value chemicals according to their journal report. So biosynthetic enzymes. Mm-hmm. According to Chemical Science, they say, this means that there is really no need to optimize a protocol for engineering of the bacterial species of interest, and this approach can be extended to exploit gene clusters identified in bacteria from environmental samples. This could offer a wide variety of antimicrobial compounds which could resolve the antibiotic-resistant crisis, end of quote. They hope. That is what they're hoping. So far in their testing of these types of compounds, it's kind of offered moderate antibacterial activity on things like TB infections. They're looking for drugs that inhibit the bacterial growth by at least 32%, because that's what happens, you know, when you get a bacterial infection, you know, within 2 to 24 hours, it can double, you know. And so they're looking to stop that functioning and win the war from the bacteria. Now, they did also, this was fascinating, they were looking at antibiotics from worms, your earthworms. This was researchers at the University of Illinois in Chicago. They found some new bacteria for antibiotic use in earthworms, and they cultivated 80 strains of bacteria from worms, and they genetically modified them so they could be more potent derivatives. So the research was published in the Journal of Molecule Cell. And with this type of antibiotic development, it is kind of a new testing, a new theory in targeting infectious bacteria. So the researchers say they just don't know what to expect, as it's never been done before. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, they are genetically modifying the bacterial molecule so that it will bind.
Yeah.
create new proteins, and they're just uncertain what that may mean. Okay. So antibiotics can either slow bacterial growth or they and kill bacterial growth. So they're looking to do both, really. So the scientists are hoping if they genetically modify and code these bacteria, they want it to be able to corrupt the cell within the bad proteins and cause cell death of the bacterial infection. So it is one big experiment to try to fix, well, the 1940s experiment, now where we have genetically resistant infection. So we have, well, drug-resistant infection. So do we trust science to go forward with this? What kind of problem are we going to get on top of it? That's my question. Here's a quote from Molecule Cell. They said, according to the World Health Organization, antibiotic-resistant bacteria is one of the biggest threats to global health today, a significant contributor to longer hospital stays, higher medical costs, and increased morbidity. So drug-resistant bacteria are a common occurrence to surgical site infections and contribute to death in 50% of the patients who become infected. Well, that's why doctors have gone to having to use not one antibiotic, but maybe four or five antibiotics to deal with the problem. The University of California's team of biologists identified over 8,000 new combination of antibiotics that are effective and work better than existing antibiotics. And so they're working to do cluster therapy with antibiotics, according to the professor of ecology at UCLA. So gone are the days of using just one or two antibiotics to fight a drug-resistant bacterial infection. I mean, they can put you on five different ones. Here is a quote from Pamela Yeh, a professor of ecology. She says, "We're offering an alternative that looks promising. We should not limit ourselves to just a single drug or two drug combinations. We expect to be using several of these drug combinations and will work much better. We work with eight antibiotics as well as four or five drug combination antibiotics in varying doses. Physicians will have 18,278 combinations that they can work with and to work to destroy things like E. coli bacteria," she says. Whoa. 18,000. Woohoo. So the research team is saying that they have massive drug combinations. If they have to throw that on the patient, you know, that's what it's sort of like the whole football team jumping on the ball, you know, think of it that way. They created also a database and a computer software system to number the drugs and their uses in a mathematical analysis and algorithms to help the doctors figure out which selection of the drugs to use and combine. So it's into artificial intelligence that's really going to tell the doctor what to do. They call the system mathematical analysis for general interactions of components, or short-term word name is called MAGIC. Yeah, let's ask MAGIC. What do you think? Here's a patient. It's what they're suffering from. What drug combo should we use? You know, just let us know. And so according to Elf Kelton, UCLA postdoctoral scholar, regarding the MAGIC computer, he says, "We think MAGIC is a generalized tool that can be applied to other diseases, even cancer." So the realm of artificial intelligence, Dr. Kiosk, to the emergency room, please. Dr. Kiosk, I mean, doctors think they're going to be working alongside these computers. I think they'll eventually be phased out, to be honest. I think it's all going to be so automated. So one thing that has come out of all this antibiotic use is that the drugs are not bacteria selective, and they kill healthy bacteria along with the bad bacteria. So this is why so many people develop other diseases like gastropod, intestinal disorders, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and problems have occurred within just one or two drug combinations. So we really, those conditions can crop up with, you know, one or two antibiotics that they're giving you. So you have to be really leery what kind of long-term problems you're going to get with eight antibiotics that they give you. So we also have to learn through the years, you know, antibiotics, you know, they do suppress natural immune function. They inhibit the body from making antibodies for infection. So this creates a weakening of the natural immune response, and we have to be very careful, evaluate the medical outcomes on all of this. Let's talk about how you can build your immune system up, because I prefer to work with the natural system God's given us, and a lot of herbs contain inhibitors to some of the most virulent bacteria and viral strains, and we kind of lost that knowledge for a while, but we have it now, and strengthening the immune system will offer you the opportunity to have your body manufacture antibodies and to make adaptogen antibody cells for future similar strains of infection. So your immune system is very sophisticated. It's not something that should be discarded and thought as unimportant. It's very important. So here are some of the signs that your immune system is weak. If you suffer from fatigue, you catch colds frequently or viruses frequently. You have a mild fever. You have headaches or a rash. Maybe your joints ache, or you have patchy hair loss. So these are all indications, you know, you have issues there with the immune system. So we can actually be very thankful that our Creator has given us alternative safe options to help us in the medicinal area. Our herbs are very compact, concentrated components. They have antibacterial elements to them. They have germicide elements to them. They can fight germs. Anti-inflammatory, they have antioxidants. They have vitamins and minerals. They have all these things in very compact nature. And the chemistry is very unique in your medicinal herbs. Okay, so it's important. Because if you look at a strawberry, it's a nutritional food, and you can eat tons of that. But if you're looking at a medicinal plant, it may be bitter, and you only eat a little bit of it, and it's bitter because you only should eat a little. So if we, you know, pick up the Bible and we see from Genesis to Revelation, we're encouraged, hey, seek your health and healing using God's herbs. They're here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. So if you'd like to learn more, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have cleanses, immune boosters. They have metabolic strengtheners. You'll be amazed at the tools that you can employ for better health. And it's not that it's not rocket science. It's not that complicated. Give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. You know, if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. It's a professional strength grade of product line that you do not find in stores. So, and don't forget, Father's Day sales on, 20% off. Details on the homepage if you want to go to thepowerherbs.com. Or if you don't do the internet, that's no problem. Just say you want the Father's Day special, and you'll get 20% off if your order is $50 or more. And that is through the 16th. So do take advantage of that. All right, we got a few minutes. And if you're on the website, don't forget, sign up for the free newsletters. The Health Quest goes out on Friday. That'll be tomorrow. And if you want to also sign up for the American Survival newsletter, that goes out on Tuesday. So take advantage of the free subscriptions there and get health information that will empower you each week. It's great stuff. All right, we're going to talk about protein, because never a day that go by that I don't hear about how can I get protein and more energy. Yep, so good health is important. Bones are important, tissues, nerves, everything that protein helps to thrive. So too many of us really don't get the right types of foods, and we don't get the foods that provide enough protein that we need for the body to function. So without enough protein, you can't maintain those healthy muscles, healthy blood, healthy skin, hair, nails, heart function, brain action, so forth. So even without adequate protein, your arterial walls get weak. You know, and then you have cardiovascular problems. Your teeth can get loose, and your joint and ligaments can give you problems. So protein, very important, but there's a difference in the type of protein. So basically, a lot of agricultural economists, like Professor Popkin, University of North Carolina, has stated that most overweight and undernourished people, that's what we have now in the history of mankind. Used to be, countries had, famine and they had malnutrition and underweight people. But now, he says 300 million people are obese, 800 million are undernourished, and 1 million are overweight in America. And this is a very different comparison, a transition from a starving world to an obese one. And he says it's accelerating. So the British are dealing with the same types of health problems that Americans are facing. 2 million British are malnourished, overweight, or just too fat. So just because you're overweight, you could still be malnourished. You're just not getting the right foods. And so experts are saying that the numbers are like 4 million people in Britain. Average British diet, they have high fat, salt, calories, with very little nutrition. Protein matters, and we're going to talk about protein facts because adults need to get protein, and men especially. One drop of your blood has 1 million more red blood cells than a woman, so you have the risk of losing more muscle mass than we do. So foods high in calories but low in protein make the body convert muscle and other organ tissue to energy, and you'll lose muscle mass. And then some of your hormones are proteins. So like your thyroid hormones, your insulin, your growth hormones, your sexual development hormones, your metabolic hormones, all have to have protein. If you don't have them, these areas suffer. So a lot of people today don't have proper pH level. They don't have the right protein that protects that. And then their blood and their alkalinity and their acid levels are off. I think one of the basic things to health is getting some sun-dried salt going, because it has 84 microminerals that are cardio-friendly, because so much of our food doesn't have enough minerals in it. So I think that's one reason. People are using the wrong salt, and they're using a devitalized processed salt, and that's wrong. And then they're not getting protein. So one of the things I like to use is spirulina. It's a plant. It's protein. And it's one serving of this, I think it's like a teaspoon size. It's in a powder, and you throw it in juice or water and stir it up. One teaspoon is like enough protein equal to a steak. So without all the cholesterol and fat and bad things you don't want. So spirulina, I like it in lemonade. It's great in lemonade. Just throw it in there. You can put it in orange juice. You can put it in vegetable juice, anything you like. Water soluble in the system in 60 seconds. So it's a great source of protein. It's such a great source of protein. NASA put it on the shuttle for the astronauts to have, because they would lose muscle mass when they're in space. So they gave them that. Do look into that. So you're going to have to make sure your diet, you're not allergic to it. Make sure you're not allergic to your diet, and make sure it's simple and basic and organic, and it'll be good for you. So if you're looking for spirulina, it's in the Body Food Mix. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have that in there, along with natural vitamin C and B things. Oh, it's great stuff. And you'll find that at thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call at 866-229-3663, one of the most popular items they have. I'm out of time, so I'll be back next week. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. And until next time, I wish you all to be well.